Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by iStock Photo. Save 10% off your first purchase by visiting iStockPhoto.com/TWITstock.
Macworld Expo. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here, and we are ready for MacBreak Weekly number 72, our traditional tear-it-apart postmortem after the big speech of Steve Jobs. What we're going to do today, because we have many people and few mics, is we're going to rotate people in and out, starting, but somebody who will stay here because he doesn't... More level in the audience. They want more PA. We may not be able to give you a lot of level because we're getting some feedback on this, and I apologize. We are recording this live at Macworld Expo at the podcast studio in the back of the West Hall. We'll be here all week. That sounds like a joke, but we actually will be here all week. And we hope you'll come by. We'll be doing a number of different shows here, including TWiT on Friday at 2 o'clock. Merlin Mann is here from 43 Folders. Hello, Merlin.
Good morning, Leo.
Did you get up and go to the... big speech?
In a sense. I stayed home and drank coffee and played with my daughter, but I did reload...
That's the sense I like, actually.
I reloaded Mac Rumors, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, I was driving. I didn't even reload.
I don't know how you did it.
It was, you know, I was on tenter hooks.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on tenter hooks?
I have. I was on tenter hooks in college, and then I had a nurse that got me off it.
It's good. It's a nice thing, yeah, if you get off of that.
Was it foggy? Crazy foggy?
Very crazy foggy.
Yeah.
Very crazy foggy. They closed the San Jose airport earlier this morning. Also here, Chris Breen, the bouffant of all Mac knowledge. Hello, Mr. Breen.
Hello.
They've been mocking his hair a little bit, but he's looking good.
Thank you. Looking puffy. Yeah.
Not only your hair, not you.
No, well, I have a little of this, too.
Little bulge. Also, you went to the keynote. You didn't do the refresh.
No, I got up, and I went to the speaker's lounge where there was no food and no coffee.
They lied to you.
And there was a lot of cranky speakers there in the morning. And
shocking. Shocking.
And so as we dashed upstairs, they had coffee stations, so you'd like quick burn your mouth and then go in.
I'm going to expect you to be able to give us the full rundown of what happened. Before we do that, though, let's introduce the loveliest member of the panel, the wonderful Justine Azarek from iJustine. And Scott Bourne leaps to his feet. Hi, Justine. Good to have you. iJustine.tv, right?
And.com.
And.com.
It's all the same.
She's got them all, ladies and gentlemen. Lifecaster. Justine, are you going to run out and buy a MacBook Air?
Maybe. I'm going to wait maybe like 2 days. I don't know. I thought I'd wait.
2 days?
Yeah.
Because you can't get it for 2 weeks anyway. So if you order it in 2 days, you'll still get it.
2 days, 3 days.
I felt that way on the Kindle, and then I started watching the clock go up saying it'll be 3 weeks, it'll be 4 weeks, it'll fit. So finally I jumped. Chris Breen, can you just run down? I mean, first of all, Merlin had this feeling, as did I, that something exciting and wonderful and new was going to happen. Were we fantasizing? Were we dreaming? Were we wrong?
You know, we had our panel. We had the preview panel yesterday, and we pretty much nailed everything that happened.
Well, everything that we said would happen and less, because they didn't do a new iPhone. They just revved the old one.
Right. And they didn't even... Well, all they issued was the software update that we have seen in the video that got out, and
right.
So there was no 16-gig iPhone.
It's no just like, HSDPA high speed either.
No, it's just like, hey, here's your iPhone, and it's better now. And
for free, that's good.
For free, free is good.
We'll talk about what's better in that. They didn't rev the iPods.
No.
They changed the firmware on the Touch.
They changed the firmware on the Touch, so for $20, you can make it more like an iPhone, or for free, you can do the same thing.
Yeah, because you're going to do a seminar later. Is this free exactly the same free, or is it like faking it with third-party application free?
This is actually better than free.
You're going to make money on the upgrade?
Yes. Money will come pouring out of your phone.
That's a new slot they put on there. I saw that slot. That's the money slot.
Well, when you check your iTunes entry on the iPhone, you will see that your credit balance is, you know,
sort of unending. He's lying anyway. We'll find out a little bit more about that. The biggest announcement was this, what Merlin has been fantasizing, dreaming and hoping and praying for, the 3-pound ultralight. Is it all you thought it would be? Have you looked at the specs yet, Merlin?
I think I wanted it to go in a different direction. I like the thinness of it, and that would be great for traveling around. But I
Steve Jobs says the thinnest notebook ever. I don't know. Is that the case?
It's in an envelope.
It fits in an envelope, like a manila envelope?
It's the kind of envelope you circulate around an office with a little string.
Does it come in that envelope? That would be kind of cool.
It's in a plain brown envelope.
And it said,
in 2 weeks.
You cross off your name and put the next guy's name on there.
Pass it along. That's exactly right. I guess I had kind of hoped for, Andy got me all fantasizing about this thing that would be like half a vertical screen high, but super small vertically, but still be, you know, crazy portable and light. I think that's what I would have been more looking for. This is pretty. I wish it was $300 less.
It's $1,799.
That's a chunk of change.
Yeah. I think it's, well, if you look
it's
at...
It's not crazy, but it's not, like, zowie. Like, if I had seen that and it was $1,300, I would have been like, that's pretty cool. But it's all right. I'll probably buy one like an idiot.
No optical drive in it, but it has a clever feature, Chris, you were telling me, where it can install software from any other Mac as long as you allow it to.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you announce is that, yes, you can do optical because we'll sell you this $99 USB little optical drive, but who cares? Because, really, they're saying, yeah, but you don't want that. What you want is this software that you can install on a Windows PC or on your Macintosh, and you have a DVD drive in that, or a media drive. You put that media in there, and you'd say, oh, could you go to that other computer, connect to that, and install for me? And the other computer says, yeah, fine, take over for me.
But it's at 802.11n speed, or, I mean, it's slow.
Yeah, it's not going to be ultra-speedy, but, you know, the theme of this whole thing is it's in the air. Something's in the air, and they're really saying it's all about wireless now. Forget discs.
Justine, you carry a very thin, lightweight VAIO Sony notebook.
Yeah, I carry one of the Sonys, but the thing is, I'm going to be so worried about breaking that I would never want to put that in my purse, because I don't mind throwing my PC around.
So portability is not really a big deal for you.
Well, I mean, it is, because that backpack kind of gets kind of heavy.
Yeah, you use that for life casting. That's your...
Yes,
that's your,
yes.
That's the Justin.TV, Justine.camera.
That thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you were... So you carry that. Do you carry a Mac with you as well?
Yes, and usually I actually carry two PCs, two of the small VAIOs.
Just for backup?
Just in case.
And your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just... Would you replace your Mac with that, with this new Air?
I don't know. That would be kind of hard to do. I just feel
really?
Like...
What is missing that you would want on your...
I just feel like substance. Like, yeah. I like having... Like, even if the MacBook
Air... See, it seems to me you're the audience for this, because it's elegant, it's slim, it fit in your purse or your manila envelope.
Yeah. I like it, but if it was even smaller, like, kind of like that, right there.
I think if they would reissue a totally tricked out Intel version of the 12-inch PowerBook, I would be the happiest boy in the world.
That's what you really want.
My wife still, I bought one of those for $500 for my wife, and I want it. Like, it's fantastic. If the latch weren't broken, it would be the best computer in the world. It's the perfect size, and it just feels solid. It doesn't feel like dainty.
But Merlin, how is this less than that? I mean, this is...
I mean, I haven't seen the thing in the flesh yet. I was on Muni when all this happened, but it. But I don't know. But it's 13-inch screen.
That's
the title
of the show, by the way. I was on Muni when this all happened.
If you live in San Francisco, you spend a lot of time stuck on Muni.
I was on the Anjuta when this happened.
I don't know. It's. I want to go see it in the flesh, but I think for that kind of money, I was really hoping for something like a little more zingy. And again, glom on to Andy, much more interested in how this would like tie into my whole home computer idea. And how the whole in the air thing that got me excited was, like, what can I do with this where there's going to be a smart technology that lets me not worry about the drive being only 80 gigs. And I can, like, take a trip, hit a sync button, magic happens.
What could you do with 80 gigs? I mean, my God, that's nothing these days.
Yeah.
So, Justine, before I let you go, because I know you have to go and do some video, who are you shooting for this week? You're shooting for us, Mac?
Yeah.
You're going to be on Mac Break all week?
Yes.
Oh, that's so exciting. Like, I didn't know. All right, so you're an iPhone-crazed person. Do the new features in the iPhone make you happy?
I'm really upset, actually.
Why? What's wrong?
I have wanted copy and paste on the iPhone.
Still no copy and paste!
I'm going to lose my mind!
Still no copy and paste.
It's great that I can make, you know, send multiple recipients, but...
Will you use that? I don't even know why you would want the... You know who wanted that? Alex wanted that when he had a baby.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That's what Alex was looking for. Alex, Lindsay, and Andy Anako are here. They'll join us as well as Scott Bourne in just a little bit, but I wanted to get the people who had to go in first. So you're not happy with the upgrade?
I mean, I'm kind of happy. I'm not that disappointed, but I'm still waiting for video.
You know, that's an easy thing to do. If you have a camera, all you have to do is take more pictures faster and you have video.
I tried that.
Yeah, but I mean, they could do that. The point is they could do that in firmware like that. It's an easy upgrade. You know, after reading Fred Vogelstein's article in Wired, which I thought, again, I want to plug because I thought it was really good, I really got the sense that the iPhone just barely made its release. Mm-hmm. And that they knew that everything wasn't in there. This was the year they had to work on it and make it better. Sounds like they didn't get enough done in that year, from your point of view.
I mean, it's great. I can't wait to move my icons around, but that's not going to solve the issue when I want to copy a URL from a website.
Did you get any sense? I wasn't there, so I don't know. About third-party apps, did he talk about any third-party apps that are coming? Or did he talk about the SDK?
He did. He briefly mentioned it, but it's still... I just still feel let down. I really do. I mean, I think it's going to be really difficult to top last year.
Yeah, the only thing he mentioned about the SDK is he said it exists, and he said that we're going to open it up to all developers, which is a little bit more information than we have, but he didn't expand on it. He didn't show anything.
Yeah.
And he didn't drag out EA or somebody like that to say, here, you know, it was just SDK, it's coming, but let me show you the new things on the phone.
It's like this machine was made to play games. I mean, I want to play games with my iPhone. Why didn't he say, EA, come up here, show one great game, and say, look, you know, we know, and this is coming.
And I think we were talking about this before, that maybe there's an iPhone event specifically designed for this in a while.
I'm sure
that
it seemed like a very, very modest series of announcements, almost by design.
Yeah.
I mean, what it almost seemed to do was to try and nip in the bud the whole kind of jailbreak idea by giving you like a few things that would let you trick it out.
Don't break it because we're going to make it better.
Right. Yeah. But it seemed like they must have been holding back.
Justine, thank you so much.
Yes.
I'm going to let you go to work.
Thank
I know
you.
You've got to find some stuff to talk about. Love the, what do you call those things? Sleevelets?
I don't know.
Sleevelets, gauntlets.
Arm warmers.
Love socks.
I'm not sure.
Arm socks. She's starting a whole new trend of arm socks.
Arm socks.
Those are very, very attractive.
Right.
Thank you, Justine. We're going to let Justine go and go to work. And Scott Bourne, you can come sit in. Andy Iannocco now is mic'd up. Merlin Mann, you stay there. I think we've got the only person who's still, poor guy, still left out in the cold, Alex Lindsay, but he's got knobs to turn now.
Okay.
He's busy turning knobs like a crazy man. Scott Bourne, I know you're just champing at the bit. Do you agree with Justine, too little on the iPhone, or was this a much-needed upgrade, and are you glad?
Well, I think we needed it. I'm just a little disappointed we didn't get more. I was really thinking, the thing I'm most disappointed in is one of my best sources turned out to be wrong, so I can write him off.
I hate it when that happens.
I was expecting a 16-gig phone today.
Well, everybody was. Your best source was AT&T, who said, we're going to make an HSDPA phone.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think all the upgrades they announced were fine.
Right.
I did notice an absence of enthusiasm when he said, and on the touch, it's only $20. And there was not a single smattering of applause for that.
What was that all about? Why $20
for the upgrade?
They're
charging $20 to put it on the touch.
Right.
But it's free on the iPhone. And, you expect it to be free on the iPhone. I kind of thought it'd be free on the touch.
Well,
Andy, what's the story? Andy Iannocco, ladies and gentlemen, from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Well,
good to see you.
I have to ask myself, I was just as surprised as anybody else to find out they're charging for that upgrade, but when you realize that all the new features for the iPod Touch involve applications that are going to be downloaded and installed, I'm wondering if this is just a way for them to test online purchase and installation of iPod iPhone software via the iTunes Store.
Oh, very interesting.
Totally.
It's a beta test.
I'm guessing they want to stress test the system.
But then why not make it $2.99 or $4.99? Why make it $20?
Because there is such a thing as perceived value that if they make it $2.99, the people will... I think there are more people who feel they're being ripped off if it's a $2.99 upgrade. Because then they'll say, well, look, you're charging me pennies, essentially, to Apple.
Right.
Why are you charging me anything at all? Whereas if you're saying, well, look, we're giving you a mail app. We're giving you this weather app. We're giving you this mapping application that's just been revved in a huge way. So...
How about, I was really hoping bigger memory on the Touch, like a 32 gig. A little disappointed they didn't do that. Will there be an iPod event down the road like there was an iPhone? Can you guys hear me? You're looking at me
I barely hear you. I've got to read your lips a little bit.
The PA isn't very good, so I'll come over here.
Yeah, I think there will be an iPod event. I mean, Apple
seems like they're holding stuff back and they're delivering it more gradually over the year instead of making Macworld the single big announcement, right?
Yeah, and, I wouldn't characterize Steve Jobs as the most sensitive person in the world, but I think after the iPhone price drop...
Yeah.
Apple is being a little more careful about, and plus they don't want to kind of disturb the message of what around this notebook, but I don't think after kind of pushing really hard on the brand new iPods that they want to release updated models just a few months after they came out, and they don't want to kind of weather that.
It's pretty recent, yeah.
They
yeah.
also, if they put out too much more, so let's say they put out that maxed out Mac Pro today, which they put out last week, announced. If they put out iPods today, that all would have taken attention away from the Apple TV thing, which we haven't talked about.
Oh, let's talk about
Apple
TV.
And which I think is going to be a big story. And I think they didn't, well, I suspect they've got a lot to say about all of these other things, including iPhone and iPod. And I think they really wanted the story to be Apple is about to change the way you think about rentals. Whether that's true or not, I think that's the story they want.
Yeah, but hands down, the most significant item on the keynote was the Apple TV Take 2, because that totally, it is such a blatant power grab from Apple to say that we want to be the de facto server of purchased online digital media for everybody with an iPhone to an iPod. Now they're saying we want to be the de facto Amazon store for digital content for everybody who owns a living room.
And to the notional mother and father that we're always making up, you don't even need a computer anymore.
Right, exactly.
Well, I do like that. You can lie in bed and order stuff on your Apple
220,
TV.
Right. This is what Alex has wanted for months. $220, you set this thing up, and you're good to go. You can buy whatever you want. You run your credit card, and you're done.
Right. I have to point out that Xbox, I've been doing this with my Xbox 360 for some time now, including almost exactly the same plan, renting movies. You get it for 24 hours after you start watching. You get 30 days to watch it. It's more expensive on the Xbox, but it's essentially the same thing. You could order TV shows. I was watching Studio 60 that way. You'd buy the TV show, it'd come in automatically. So this is nothing new. It didn't take off an Xbox. Now, I don't know what that means.
That means that Microsoft doesn't have the iTunes Store behind it.
The store makes a difference.
I mean, it's all about merchandise. And right now, there are a lot of companies. Let's not say that Apple is the only company that's doing a good job selling content online. Rhapsody, I think, is not getting enough attention for their subscription-based media service. But if you want to pledge your allegiance to one service and have a really good chance of being able to find something on that store that you want to actually download and purchase, right now it's the iTunes Store and nothing else.
And it's what we talked about yesterday, the thing we were lightly bickering about. Just now you've got this thing that plays everywhere. So if you do have the PC and the Mac, it'll work. If you got the iPod, it'll work. If you got the iPhone, it'll work. If you've got just the little white box on your TV, it'll work.
And that's the biggest part. You do not need a computer. That is what's huge.
I do think that's huge.
I've talked to older relatives about things like this, and as soon as you say computer,
the syncing's a pain.
They freeze up.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
It's no different than a Comcast cable box. Really.
This is a set-top box.
Yeah,
that's what's really interesting. It's a stealth set-top box, which is what Microsoft's been trying to do with Xbox and never could
do. And if you remember what we said last year, we talked about the Apple TV, and you guys were a little more excited about it than I was. I said I think it's a great concept and a great start. Today, they delivered what I wanted. And today, I'm contemplating replacing my $279 a month Comcast bill with a $229 one-time. Don't look at me like that, Merlin, man.
Wait, did you get pie out of that thing? What are you getting for $279?
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing
what cable companies get?
It's amazing.
That's extraordinary.
So I got to thinking, I was looking at those numbers. I could buy every freaking movie.
I think you're getting some of those way high up the numbers channels.
Especially when you think about this as
channel 777.
I think you're getting some of those, like the ones that are scrambled for me.
Imagine if Comcast were willing to give you all the content for free, only just so that you get so addicted to the service that when it comes time to buy a movie, you'll buy the movie from Comcast. That's what Apple TV is, where they give away the podcast for free, they give away the video HD podcast for free. Huge piles of content you can get without paying a single dime, but it makes it so convenient once that alien facehugger egg is inside your living room to just leap on your face and say, yes, buy movies now, buy music now, buy mentals now, cancel your Netflix, you don't need it anymore, it's all wireless now, CD is dead, I tell you.
We're going to let Chris Breen go. He's got to run.
I do.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
What should people come see you do at the show? Because you're going to be here all week, I know. You'll come back for a Mac Break Weekly, I hope, later in the week.
You bet I will.
And look for him at the Mac World booth. Oh, actually,
I'll be signing. I'll be inside the Mac World booth.
Yeah,
sort of
be
in the
hiding.
Hidden,
in the
but
podcast.
Otherwise, I'm doing the iPhone Super Session Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Now, people should go
to
that because they could find out how to do that upgrade for free.
That's right.
I'm going to be right there. Do I have to bring my iPhone?
No, I'll just tell you about it.
All right, but I'll bring my iPhone just in case.
Take notes.
Take notes.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Chris Breen, ladies and gentlemen. The Mac Daddy, Mac 911 at Macworld Magazine, and the author of a good number of books, one of which came in that valise that they gave us as speakers. Now, Alex, you can get on mic if you want.
I'm on.
Alex is on mic. That's amazing. Why don't we get... Come on up. Here we go. We got Jason. We got finally got a seat for you. Put that on.
One of the things that I noticed about when I was watching the Apple TV stuff is that how many TV shows that I'm actually watching once. You know, I don't really watch them over and over again. I'm happy to pay my $1.99. I buy them and I own them, but
right.
I'm not really going
I
back
don't
and watching
keep
Lost.
I noticed that with Studio 60. I bought them, but I threw them out after I was on West Wing.
You run
I
out of hard drive space and you go, I'm just going to throw it away.
Is that okay with you, Merlin? You seem like a kind of compulsive, anal retentive kind of... The kind of person who might want to save every possible copy of the Brady Bunch.
I'm not sure I understand what makes you feel that way.
Maybe it's the notepad.
Do you have any, like, hand sanitizer? Or... No, I don't.
Do you throw stuff out when you're done?
Well, you know, I try to be good about kind of backing everything up in this sort of, like, I don't have to think about it way, but in the smaller scheme of things, I'm constantly throwing stuff away. So, yes, that works for me completely.
You can't burn it from the Apple TV. I mean, there is no way to get it out of there.
You can put it on your iPhone, on your iTouch, on any of your computers.
Well, you can sync it to other devices.
You can watch half of the movie on your computer.
How do you get it to your iPhone? Through iTunes?
Through iTunes.
I think they're going to need to extend the time for that. I think, in my opinion, one day is not enough.
No, I agree with you.
I think it's going to go to 3 days pretty quickly. Because if anybody tells you, I've got a 12-week-old child.
No,
there's not a lot of times that I'm going to be able to watch a movie completely inside of 24 hours.
And as I remember, the Xbox...
No, I'm actually afraid that I...
Well, you just close the bathroom door and just put
it
in there.
No, he just...
I'm watching Alien versus Predator.
So we have kids that are about a week apart, I think. You know, 2 weeks apart. And my son, he pretty much... when he falls asleep in the evening, there's like three Losts in a row. Tends to be about...
It's baby Benadryl. Like,
he is. Well, you know, it works. It works. So
I don't think that's long enough after you started it, because it happens to me all the time. I'll download something. I'll watch the very beginning of it. Something happens.
I think 72 hours would be great.
Yeah.
You know, to me, 72 hours would be a real sweet spot.
Let me introduce Jason O'Grady, who is with the Power Page. I love Jason because he comes up with such great rumors and stories. Jason, it's good to have you. Come on.
Thanks a lot, Leo. Great to be here on the podcast.
So were you surprised? Did any surprises in what you saw today?
I was surprised by the name. Does Air bother anybody else? I mean, that was kind of unusual to me.
I didn't want to believe that, frankly. I'm surprised.
I was a little, I think the sub-notebook thing was almost a foregone conclusion. I've been predicting myself for, I think, 10 years now. And last year I knew it was going to be announced. So I knew it would be this year. So
you're always
a year behind. Yeah. But I'm ecstatic about it. But I was really blown away. I just looked on the Apple Store, and they're charging $1,000 more for the SSD drive. So if you want that solid state drive in the MacBook Air, it's $1,000 upgrade.
That's actually not bad, because Seagate, if you buy that 64 gig drive standalone, it's $2,500.
That's right.
So I don't know how they're doing that.
And you're getting less storage space, right? It comes with an 80 gig normally.
Right.
So for a 64 gig SSD, they bang you for $1,000 right there.
I'm not going to get in line. Who knows how long it lasts?
What's the benefit of that?
There's no real specs on it.
It doesn't last forever. That's the problem with solid state, is that you can write to it a limited number of times. They're doing a lot of tricky stuff to move the writing around, supposedly to increase the lifespan, but these drives are so new, we don't know how
set amount of duty cycles, right? That's the issue with it. You know,
is it faster?
It is faster. It's going to boot faster. It's going to save you on battery life. You're going to have much closer to an instant on type experience. Everything about it, I love. I love the concept of it. I really, really
want
it.
We're talking about the solid state drive.
What is the benefit of a solid state drive?
Well, no moving parts, for one thing.
It's no moving parts. It's basically the same memory that's in every iPod, except for the bigger ones.
It's flash memory.
It's flash memory. But it has a certain amount of write cycles that you can write to it.
That's the real issue.
It's going to die. That's just too much of a premium for me. I was a little pinched by the
also
price.
Better battery life, right, though, because it's static RAM, so it doesn't have to be refreshed.
So you write to it,
you don't continue to send power out to it.
Yep.
And you don't lose. I mean, so in a way, I think there's some advantage to this. I mean, I think
there's a ton of advantages.
Nothing to spin up.
Absolutely.
No heat generated by it.
Yep. You're going to get longer runtime, faster boot time. But you got to remember, too, it's also smaller. So, you know, the padded drive that you're able to get for 80 gigs,
right,
costs you no upgrade fee. Right. But if you go up to the
64
SSD,
gigs.
You go down to 64 gigs.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So you also got to go down. I mean, this is for somebody who really, really needs to go the extra mile with that battery or really just has to have the latest and greatest on their block. I don't think it's ready for prime time. The premium is just a little too much. I was a little disappointed in the price. I was really wanted it to be like Merlin. $14.99, I think, was the sweet spot. I mean, I'm walking right out to buy one immediately at $14.99. $17.99, it's sort of the way Apple kind of does everything with their pricing.
What do we get for $17.99? We get a 1.6 Core 2.
It's 1.6.
So it's not super fast. 13-inch screen.
Full-size keyboard.
But it's an LED lit, right?
LED backlit.
Now, Scott, you're a photographer. I know a lot of my graphic artist friends say the LED backlit is actually a better color rendition. Is that correct?
It is. It's going to do a better job for people that use colorimeters.
Is it brighter?
It's very bright, and it's really very
even.
It's very bright, particularly considering the battery power it requires compared to other traditional methods.
Right.
I think the big news is it's, we all heard these stories about a sub-notebook, and people were thinking, bigger than iPhone, but not as big as a computer.
That's what Andy wanted.
Yeah, this is a real computer. My question is, by the time you get the drive he's talking about in there, you're $3,000 into this thing.
Yeah.
You got a MacBook Pro that'll kick butt.
No,
I'm not sure that I understand. Once again, I think it's a lot like Apple TV. It's Apple TV One. It's a great start on some cool, the touch technology, all that stuff. But in terms of practicality, other than people like me, who's going to buy it?
Andy, is there touch in it? It doesn't do the touch, does it?
Well, there are touch gestures supported by the trackpad.
Oh, so you do it on the pad.
Right, so that zoom. Applications that support it, you can pinch and stretch to zoom in, zoom out. There's a three-finger gesture for going, for paging
Very
through.
Cool.
Items or other gestures.
Everybody do it with us.
Everybody pinch. Look, they're all doing the pinch.
That's the
international. I get an iPhone and now an Air sign.
What's the Air sign? I think that's the Air. Wait a minute. No, that's not going to work.
Leo's making a big L on his head.
What do you guys think of that? The 5-hour battery life. How
is it 5 hours? You think?
Do you think it's really going to be 5 hours?
It's 5 marketing hours.
It's 5, right?
So that's really 2.5
to
5 marketing hours. I'm in marketing.
So if you're only writing press releases, it'll go for
absolutely
3.5 hours in human.
Oh, with the screen all the way down. Okay,
off. No, off. Like you're touch typing. I think I'm typing.
But potentially it could be because it is so much smaller. There's a fewer spindles. It could potentially.
I wouldn't say that's. I would have to think that it's less than 5. I wouldn't say that it's less than 4.
It's got to be more than a MacBook.
I'm guessing 4. Oh, definitely more. I would guess 4.5.
Well, more than an hour and a half you get off of Sony. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And they are getting better with the battery predictions. There used to be a day, honestly, when it was 50% of whatever they said. It comes with a 6-hour battery, right? If you were getting 3, man, you had the dimness all the way down, energy saver cranked up.
Yeah.
They are getting closer to the mark, so I think it should get 4.
Also realize this is like a MacBook built with iPod engineering, where it's got iPod hard drives, got iPod display technology.
Oh, is
got
it really
iPod
that? It's that little Hitachi drive.
1.8-inch Hitachi.
Oh, interesting.
But I want to get back to the question that Scott was asking about who would possibly buy this. And what really kind of put into focus for me is thinking about the Concorde, the supersonic transatlantic flights, where for an extra $1,000, you can be in London in 2.5 hours instead of 6 hours. But there were enough people for whom that 3.5 hour difference was so important that they could actually keep the fleet going.
That's what they should have named it, the MacBook Concorde.
There you go.
There you go.
before the tire problem and the people died.
Yeah,
the MacBook sunk cost.
See, we were talking earlier about how much a lot of us miss the 12-inch MacBook, the 12-inch PowerBook. But the thing is, people are not carrying around 12-inch wide bags. They're carrying around bags that are about this size. So if you were to make a notebook that's narrower, I wouldn't see any practical benefit from it. However, if you make it thinner, that means that I don't have to jam it in there to get it in there with my other notebook, with the legal pad that I've got in there.
Do you fly coach?
Yes, I do. I'm a freelance self-employed journalist in print media. I fly coach.
You know, there's some things missing from this, I have to point out. Not only did an optical drive, but Dan Hendricks, who's sitting in the audience, was just showing us a cue card on his 17-inch, I think. It was big enough we could see it. He said, no Ethernet port. Yeah. That's kind of a shock.
Ethernet is dead.
They're really declaring, Apple is really saying wireless is wireless is wireless. Yeah. And we're not. And now, I got a question. How often do you guys hook your laptops into an Ethernet?
All the time.
Every day.
Okay, well, there you go.
Also, it's the simplest.
I forgot that mine had an Ethernet port.
Yeah.
No, use it.
Also, it's the simplest way to get two Macs talking to each other at the sort of speeds where location is irrelevant. There are times when I could network wirelessly where I'm saying, no, it's not worth copying this big file over or using it remotely. Whereas if I put copper between the two, it's almost like I've got a USB hard drive.
I use gigabit Ethernet, so it's just much faster.
But to finish that thought, though, I wasn't being sarcastic about the coach thing.
Yeah.
The time that one of the many times I most regretted having a 45-pound, 17-inch PowerBook was anytime you're in coach and the HDI in front of you pulls it all the way back.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it like this.
17-inch, forget it. You can't use any notebook.
And even
this
so,
is no joke.
So exactly.
There's a reason why I bought this at a flea market. This is a portable word processor.
That's closer to what I want.
It's the only word processor that I can use in any airplane, any train station, anything.
And right now, for the home listeners, Andy is holding up a computer the size of a fruit pie.
It's about the size of a standard notebook keyboard folded in half.
Smaller than his meaty man hands, but he still can use it, and that's the important thing.
Manly hairy man hands. You ladies in the live audience.
Not only did we lose the some size on this thing, but you know, let's talk about the loss of an optical drive for a second. And this is something that's a technology that we've just been around for so much and we've relied upon. And that's one thing that I was kind of worried about at first and thinking about, okay, you install software, you watch movies. And one of the most impressive screens for me during the keynote was, you know, he had answers to all those questions. Okay, you can install software. That's got to be one of the grooviest things, frankly, about the MacBook Air.
It's a groovy thing if it works.
Can I borrow your desk?
A groovy thing, too, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, but I can't remember the last time I actually used an optical disc to install software was...
Last night I did it.
Right. Everything else I tend to download.
Really? Microsoft Office?
That's something I do once.
You do it once.
What if your hard drive crashes?
Maybe once every 2 years.
Yeah.
If my hard drive crashes, maybe I didn't bring my optical drive with me. Did I bring my copy of Microsoft Office on DVD with me? No, I did not.
Actually, Andy's hard drive did crash.
My hard drive went grand mal seizure yesterday. So
right now,
I have two presentations on Thursday. The only thing on my MacBook right now is Tiger, Safari, and TextEdit. So
it'll be a good presentation.
What about burning disks? I mean... Yeah. I really like being able to.
But you do that at home with your desktop.
It's clearly cheap.
That is a good thing. Like,
but it's if you're in a hotel room and you want to have a backup, you want to make a CD to listen to in the rental car.
You do it right there.
I burn discs all the time.
Okay, now I'm channeling Steve. Steve says, connect to your iDisk on .Mac and back up to that even more reliable.
Andy, I'll tell you what, get me started on iDisk, because I would love to talk about iDisk.
Did he announce anything for .Mac? Any new?
Nothing.
Nothing.
They announced they're not going to kill it.
I hope they announce syncing soon.
You can now watch your photos through Apple TV over
at
.Mac.
That's right.
That's cool. So if you have...
The Flickr didn't work so well.
And your videos.
Oh, did he do it in the demo?
Because, the photo streams on .Mac have become so very popular.
Yeah.
Well, what did he do with Flickr? Alex Lindsay is here, by the way, for the Pixel Core. Thank you for joining us, Alex.
Yeah.
He's been turning the knobs, trying to make this thing sound good.
I'm glad
we could get you on mic. What happened when he tried to use Flickr?
What happened was the feed from the Flickr wasn't coming through. The music was set up to play, and it just wasn't able to grab the feed.
Do I need to do anything special on Flickr, or can I just say I want to see my set of pictures from
Flickr? It should work. I think you can browse it, right?
He just blamed it on Flickr not serving. I do want to point out that this is the most mistakes I've ever seen Steve Jobs make.
Well, let's count them. Okay.
In a presentation.
How many mistakes? What went wrong?
He called Leopard Tiger. He said, Tiger is loaded with great features.
Whoa. And then he looked at a graphic that said the Nokia's share was 3.1 and said 1.3.
Well, that's just wishful thinking, right?
Wow, what a jerk.
A Flickr flip.
We're so much better than he is.
Yes.
That Steve Jobs is such a sap.
How could he do that?
You know, what does he know?
We're so used to the flawless presentation.
That's true.
And I will say that, you know, the two brave souls that wandered onto the stage with him this year, neither of them brought 3x5 note cards.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
true. Who did he invite up today?
He invited up the head, the studio head of Fox, who also dropped a second interesting bomb that was glossed over. He went, you know, blah 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 partnership, blah 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 new media, blah blah blah, quote unquote. Just as you're checking your watch, and you're starting the Sony clock countdown to see if he's going to beat, you know, the old record started but and set 2-3 years ago, he takes out of his back pocket a copy of the brand new Family Guy DVD, the Star Wars riff, and he happens to mention that every copy that's of this Blu-ray DVD also contains a digital copy you can put into your iTunes library, sync to your iPod, your iPhone.
I like that.
And to me, this should have been one of the bullet items. Just if it, that's the, one of the first questions I got to ask. The triple star question is this a standard feature you're going to find on all Fox titles?
Wouldn't that be
Are
nice?
We going to see this program expand, or is this this one-off thing where they figure that...
Well, they say it's going to be normal.
Well, and one of the things I think is really important about this is an incredible step of the movie industry to legalize us. They know that all of us want to take our DVDs and rip them into, you know, iTunes. And what they're actually allowing us to say, okay, we're not going to have, instead of having you do that, let's hand you something that actually works.
I think it's a self-defensive gesture because you know that everybody's beating on the Blu-ray encryption to break it as candidly as the DVD encryption was broken. I think they're doing a smart thing by realizing that if they give us what we want, we won't try to break the...
Presumably, though, this has the iTunes DRM built into it, right?
No.
No DRM?
We don't know.
Got it.
I have my briefing in an hour and a half. That's a question.
No, I don't... Is it on the Blu-ray discs? It's on the Blu-ray discs.
It's on the Blu-ray
discs. So I think it's a standard def movie.
It would have to be...
The digital copy isn't Blu-ray.
No, the digital copy is just standard def.
Right. All right. But, you know, so...
But that's still the camel's nose under the tent.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways.
I think it's a great idea. I'm surprised it doesn't have DRM. I bet it will have DRM on it.
Oh, I would imagine.
I think all of these... They've done this in other ways, and I think all of these... The idea is, don't keep people from ripping it by giving them something, but we have to have some DRM on it. We're not going to let them distribute it.
I don't really... I'm not a hippie. I don't really care about sticking it to the man. I have the bazooka in my hand. That all depends on how reasonable we will be. All I want is the girl. You can have the arc. So as long as I have the ability to watch it on my iPhone, I don't care about being able to rip it myself. So long as I can keep it on my home media server, in my iTunes library, and stream it to any system I have in the house, I'm happy with it.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to throw out there for the panel. Was anybody else cheesed off by the dollar upcharge for HD?
Yeah.
Like, it says movies are $2 and $3 or whatever. They're $3 and $4. But in HD, they're only a dollar more. Like, that was so...
That sounds reasonable because when you think about how much more bandwidth it's going to cost to pump an HD version out.
I think Microsoft charges a lot more. I think $8.99 for HD.
I'd almost rather it be one price, though. It sounds better. All the movies are... $3.99.
Well, they should all be high def, frankly.
That's true. And then you can make the argument that you don't get a discount. Well, but that just for me was kind of just like, the $20 iPod Touch.
One thing I think is really important, though, is this is the first time we're really seeing DVD or HD quality stuff being put through iTunes
on the Apple TV.
This is what the Apple TV was designed to do.
Absolutely.
And this is the first time we're
getting
it.
It's always been able to do it, but they didn't offer any content appropriate.
Yeah, and now we're also looking at, if you compare this to an HD DVD or a Blu-ray disc to the standard def disc, it's like twice as much.
Did you guys get
it? So we're it's a little bit more, but I have to say, I really am going to have to love the movie or want the extras to buy a Blu-ray disc if I can rent it for $3.99.
How much do they rent those for in stores? Do they rent them
roughly the same? I think it's the same, isn't it?
See, that's where I think the problem is. The problem is if I can rent it in the store for the same price.
Yeah, but you don't have to get out of bed this way.
I know, but I think it's going to. I think for people who are really price sensitive,
maybe
it could be an issue. And if
but
they
let
did
me tell you
price,
something, nothing Apple's ever done has been for people who are really price
that's
sensitive.
That's true.
It's a good point.
Did you guys get a look at what's the interface like on for buying?
Really simple, easy.
Is it in the vein of the menu?
It's a black background, white text on top, you know, translucent menus and stuff.
It actually looks very flat, very Web 2.0. There's no 3D parade of box art. There's a grid that they try to maximize the background behind the menus as much as they possibly can, where they have almost like an HTML 1.3 table with the clickable menus.
and I think that, I say this probably every other show, is that one of the things that makes this work is that it's a net app, not a web page. I mean, this kind of user experience is not.
Could not be
achieved in a web page.
Do you think anybody
right now
anymore knows or cares what the difference is? No,
Alex does.
It's a web page. It's a net app. Who cares?
But the point is that we're not. We don't see that when we go to Amazon to download something.
That's
when we go
true.
To other
it's
ones.
Not an it's, app.
The,
you're right.
The interface.
It's a web page.
The interface is horrible.
One reason I'm asking is that we've gone around probably half a dozen times about how much we love our Apple TV, but how much we hate the fact that it sucks at syncing. It drives me crazy, and it'll just stop midway through for no reason. I'm really curious to see what could happen. There's so many things we're talking about today that interest me because they represent. a level of engagement into an area you kind of hadn't gotten into before.
Yeah.
Whether it's putting your credit card down to add these apps, or, oh gosh, now I don't even need, so I don't need a Mac to go do this thing. And now I kind of wonder, I'm always wondering how they're going to make this all integrate with the, like, the .Mac experience and that whole, I mean, I wonder if there's going to be a point where you could hypothetically get pulled down also all of your iTunes purchases that you've gotten before. And again, they start building this into an entire media hub. And you start thinking of this instead of going to Walmart, you know what? This is going to be my first place I check to see if they've got it.
We're going to need a bigger hard drive.
What about the what about the streaming? You know, the one thing he showed that I'm curious about is he says it starts almost instantly. So you're buying that high-definition movie, and you're on your generic run-of-the-mill Comcast Verizon connection at home. When you click buy, how long is that really going to take to stream? Maybe the video guys in here can chime
in. I can tell you my experience from the Xbox 360, which does a very similar thing. It takes a while, more than a few minutes.
He said instantly.
Yeah, instantly.
Did he not say instantly?
Well, I think when he said instantly, it was when he demonstrated, though. When he was saying instantly, I do think he was showing us a
pre-cached.
Well, no.
Instantly when it's already downloaded.
No. He was showing us a standard def, which could come down
standard
instantly.
Standard def,
possibly.
Could.
The HD one did come down very quickly, but of course, I'm sure that he's already been watching.
He goes, "That one I've already been watching."
He said that.
No. Yes, I went because he went to Live Free or Die Hard.
Right.
He said, I'm going to go back to one I've already been watching.
There's your fudge words right there. He said that.
Bingo. Well,
and he said the standard definition would start playing, he said, quote, within 30 seconds. And what happens is a certain amount of the movie, enough of it downloads.
Yeah, it's buffering.
Anytime I want to do anything in HD, I grab the Ethernet cable and drag it out from the other room.
No, it'll take a while. I can tell you exactly, because the Xbox Live is very, very similar. It takes a long time, like overnight, to get a high-def movie on a standard DSL line. I mean, it's not instant. We're talking at least a gigabyte of data, maybe more.
Oh, so that's the trick. See, it's 24 hours you get to view it, but it takes 25 to download it.
It's not instant, and I think that's really important. Now, standard definition can be, and that's what Netflix is offering. That's what Cinema Now is offering. And it doesn't look that great. But, yeah, it plays back instantly. I think if you're watching a TV show, you might be content with that.
Podcast.
A podcast. Yep. Absolutely would be content with that.
By the way, podcasts.
This is a big...
I like
Apple TV
this.
Is huge for podcasts. Yeah, we're in the podcast studio here. And it is, I mean, being able to be sitting on your TV now and be able to download download our shows.
Never has it been so easy to watch college kids playing Super Mario Brothers on the guitar than it is with the Apple TV.
Absolutely. I don't know if that's going to make a difference, but that does put podcasts in a very interesting, video podcasts particularly, in a very interesting position. If you're doing Mac Break or Tiki Bar, Or Ask a Ninja, you've got to be pretty happy about this.
And he went out of his way really to highlight it, too. He said, he kept talking about how it was free and how there's so many 125,000 podcasts and all these high-def podcasts and how they're free and how you can order them from the television. You don't have to have the computer connected up anymore. But going back to Apple TV just for one second, he did say there's a software upgrade for the current Apple TV. So is the new one not... any new hardware in it? Isn't it a little faster? Or can the current one do all the high definition goodness and everything? Or do you need the second one?
The current one will do it.
V2 firmware upgrade.
He didn't make any distinction between a first generation Apple TV with the software upgrade and what they're selling right now. The device that they showed on the screen did not differ in any way whatsoever from the first one.
So hardware-wise, we think it's the same.
We've been playing HD. HD, like MacBreak is produced in HD, and we've been producing, and all the stuff we make...
It always plays back
just fine. So it should be able to handle it.
We've said a couple of times, they're nickeling and diming, but I have to say, this is pretty impressive what they're giving away for free in this keynote. Free upgrades for the iPhone with a lot of functionality. Free upgrades for the Apple TV with a lot of functionality, both of which they could have charged for. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job. We're going to wrap this up. Let's just get final thoughts all along the line, starting with you, Scott Bourne. This keynote, exciting for you. What was the highlight of it?
Well, I have to say that as we got into it, it seemed a little sleepy, but I think it's really important what took place with regard to the ability to download these movies. I think the Apple TV is a big upgrade. I'm glad to see the iPhone got an upgrade. I would have liked to see more. But we've got a paradigm shift happening where you can download these movies. Apple is really starting to compete with both cable television and with the rental houses. I'm glad I'm not a Netflix stock owner today. And I really think that once again, it's sort of like I felt last year. We are starting to see something that I think a few years from now will be really big. And I think all of these things today, the MacBook Air, for instance, we talked about the $1,000 hard drive. Next year, that'll be $500. The year after, it'll be $200. I think it's a good start. I think it ended up starting slow. It finished strong. Randy Newman was great. And
Randy Newman came,
and
I love Randy.
And it was a great show, and I'm glad I got to see it.
What did he sing?
He sang a song that he wrote for the occasion, which was not necessarily friendly to the current political administration.
It was an apology to the rest of the world for our empire, but also pointing out that we're not nearly as bad as the people who used to burn witches.
Oh, that's good. And you've got a friend in me from Toy Story was fantastic.
Which is, of course, it makes our passion.
Yeah. Here's Steve Jobs giving his address. Here it comes. Now he's going to talk about the Apple TV.
He didn't say one cool thing. Like, you know what? I normally don't like corporations that much, but Apple's different. I like Apple.
They just gave me $150,000, and I'm happy with it.
And I just kind of did that to make a little money.
Right. We're going to get the rest of your thoughts in just a second. I forgot to mention that this show and all our broadcasts this week are brought to you by iStockPhoto. You've heard of iStockPhoto, I'm sure.
I love them.
Yeah, great company. They're the world's highest volume image market. If you're a photographer and you want to sell, a video artist, and you want to sell your work, it's a great place to go. If you're a designer or you're a manager looking for images or video on a budget, a great place to go. In fact, buyers download an image from iStockPhoto every 1.4 seconds. It means it's a chance for you to make some money on your photography. And if you are looking for stuff, man, the image quality and selection, unbelievable. 2.5 million images, 60,000 videos. They add 30,000 more videos weekly from around the world. I didn't know they do videos. This is something new for them, I guess. Localized, by the way, so it's worldwide no matter where you are. And by the way, very affordable. When stock photos started, I know you probably, I bet you, Scott Bourne, you did some stock photos
in your time.
It used to be a very expensive thing, a very difficult thing for a photographer to get into, and if you were buying images, very difficult to do. Images on iStockPhoto start as low as $1 for web use, video clips as low as $5, very, very reasonable. And if you're doing a PowerPoint presentation or a small business video, anywhere from $1 to $50. And each image is inspected and approved by hand for technical quality, legal usage. If you want to sell your photos, I want you to go to iStockPhoto. It is the biggest marketplace in the world for this kind of thing. If you want to know more, visit iStockPhoto.com/TwitStock. How do you like that? TwitStock. That's our special. In fact, TwitStock is also the promo code if you want to save 10% off your first purchase. New registrants to iStockPhoto can save 10% using the keyword TwitStock. iStockPhoto.com/TwitStock. A great company. We're really glad to partner with them for our broadcast here today from a MacWorld Expo. Jason O'Grady from O'Grady'sPowerPage.org. What do you think?
We were talking about the Randy Newman thing. Did anybody else think he was going to introduce Jay-Z at that second? You know, the combination of music and movies,
I like the
and
mixture.
Videos. I'm
yeah.
like, all right, the Jay-Z rumor is coming true.
No.
But no, he didn't disappoint. Randy Newman was fantastic.
I think that's a good choice, actually.
I honestly thought Jay-Z
And I couldn't
was,
take one more John Mayer concert.
No. So. I was kind of surprised
no,
we didn't have
I
John
I thought
Mayer.
Jay-Z was coming out. I honestly did.
I kept waiting for Paul McCartney. Oh, well.
But the most significant thing for me out of the keynote, I think the movie stuff is really incredible. I think all the studios really got to be looking over their shoulders, the competitors and things like that. Apple's shown a lot of innovation. But for me, it's the MacBook Air. It's the machine I've wanted for probably 10 years. It's so thin, you can shave with it.
So you're going to buy one.
I'm buying two.
He's buying two.
Yes, I'm buying two.
You're married, huh?
You're
yes.
going to need two envelopes.
I have to buy one
two.
For the wife. I can't just buy one of those.
So you can hold two doors open with it.
Yes, exactly. Well, any machine that's so thin you can shave with is what I'm all about. As you can see, I'm not shaving on purpose until I get mine.
That's good.
I think it's dynamite. I think the SSD is really expensive.
Will you buy the SSD?
No, absolutely not. I can't go smaller and pay another $1,000. If it was $500, I'd probably have to think about it a little bit more.
I think one of you ought to, just so we know how long they last, and then we'll watch you and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the MacBook Air is, I'm a little still weary of the name. I don't know about it. But I didn't like MacBook when it first came out either.
No, I hated MacBook.
I was expecting Michael Jordan to maybe run out on stage and dunk the thing and like do some fancy stuff. Now, that would be cool. But I'll buy the first MacBook Pegasus I see.
Do you think they paid Nike for the right to use the word Air, or are we going to hear a lawsuit?
I don't think they can patent Air. But
oh, you're right.
Apple probably did, though. So
yeah, license Air, very important.
Hello, we've made Air.
We now own Air.
Our
just
engineers
want you to know.
Have come up with our own version of Air.
You're on the air. Oh no, now we're in trouble. Annie Inaka. By the way, Jason, I'm so glad we could get you on the show.
Thanks for having
me. We've always wanted to have
you
on Mac.
Check out our podcast too.
Yeah, powerpage.org.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Annie Inaka. What do you think of the keynote?
It was a, I don't know. It seemed like a lot of October press events mushed into one big keynote. There really, for me, there wasn't that one big, holy cow, Apple is not the same company it was in December. My entire outlook on how 2008 is going to go is going to change. I think the biggest announcement that they made is something that was so subtle that it wasn't really very keynote studly. Again, the idea that now Apple is definitively making a play to be the media provider of the 21st century. Right now, they're in a position where they have a really aggressive majority of digital online sales, but they're still in a position where if they keep getting all the music publishers angry with them, if they start to get movie publishers angry with them, they could gang up on Apple and say, tell you what, Amazon, we're going to give you much more favorable terms if you act as partners that don't dictate how we can sell our music. This is Apple's grab to not just be the major player in this field, but to be the eBay, the Amazon, the one that's so dominant that there's no point in trying to compete with them. They're still 2 years away from making that happen, but the Apple TV and the changes they've made to the iTunes Store are definitely a huge leap forward in getting that goal to happen.
Andy, are you going to do any speaking on the show floor today, or are you just here to cover?
I'm going to be, not today, I'm going to be doing two sessions. I'm going to be doing the live version of my iPod Fully Loaded book on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be doing a game show where we're giving away fabulous prizes Thursday afternoon. To do a call back to an earlier point, you might ask, you'll be asking, but Andy, your hard drive went 100% fatal and you only have two applications on it. Where are these slides going to come from? And we'll find out on Thursday. Yeah, exactly.
A lot
of graphics in ASCII, I think we're going to be doing.
You need a time capsule.
Are you FedExing your drive out? I mean, is there anything you can do?
Believe it or not, I tried to figure that out, and the difficulty of making sure someone's going to find that drive and get it to me by Thursday, I would definitely be making a new set of slides anyway. I would much rather know for a fact
that I
have the slides in, so I'm just going to redo them.
All right. Great to have you, Andy. We'll see you again on Thursday, I hope.
Always a slice.
Mr. Merlin Mann, who is also presenting this week at Macworld Expo on Getting Your Life Together. You didn't get up like me. You slept in.
Oh, yeah.
And frankly, I'm glad I slept in. I don't feel like
I'm totally glad I slept in.
Yeah.
I was dead wrong. We were sharing an itch that there was going to be something huge.
Indigestion, I'm thinking, something going
really?
On.
Coming down with something?
Yeah, because nothing.
No,
there was nothing.
We both thought there was going to be something totally out of left field.
Nope.
And I don't think that happened. I was wrong. I'll tell you what's interesting.
Boy, that's something you don't hear a lot on podcasts. People saying I was wrong.
I could do a whole podcast just about how wrong I am about things.
That's what I like about you.
Yeah, it would
You're
be
honest.
Very well received, I'm sure. I'll tell you what I do think. I think this is a little bit like the first in a really interesting series of movies. I think there's the beginning of an arc today. They're going to be fun to watch over the next 2 years. Maybe I'm obsessed with this, but I keep thinking about how all these little devices fit together. And so I want to see what happens next when this lets me do things, indicating iPhone. This lets me do things on my Apple TV that are also pulling things off .Mac. Yeah. Because I swear to God, with the groundwork that they're laying, there's so many little connections that could be made between all of these pieces that cleave you into this world of Apple.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the kind of thing that they love to do. So I think the next year will be fun to watch. I don't know if I'm going to buy an Air. I don't know if I need it. Maybe I'll just go out and try to find another 12-inch PowerBook.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be an exciting year.
I think you hit the nail on the head, although I don't think it was this year. I think Apple made that very clear that they wanted to kind of own the whole universe. They've got a very clear strategy. It all comes around this iTunes and this ability of everything to talk together, becoming the single point for you to interact with your content. I think this is a very clear strategy, and Apple's been really slowly filling out the corners of this for the last couple of years. Apple TV did that, if you think about it. I think they're really moving. I agree with you 100%. They're very much moving in that direction. I forgot to ask you, Andy, Do you need me to lend you an audiobook or anything? Because if your hard drive died, are you okay on that?
If you got me a recommendation, if you could hook me up with a freebie.
I could get you. You know, I just downloaded Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective.
The BBC one.
That is awesome. I really want to thank you for that recommendation.
Awesome.
And he's a great source of audiobooks for us. He and I both, Audible.com listeners. We love Audible.com. We, of course, they're a sponsor. In fact, I just learned today that they've re-upped. They're going to continue to sponsor the show. So we're very glad to have them be part of Mac Break. In fact, the whole Twit family, audible.com/MacBreak. You can go there right now. And I'm going to have to reiterate your recommendation for Dirk Gently because I've really been enjoying that. In fact, all the King's Men's also been very, very good. Yeah. You've got some good recommendations, Andy and Akko. I want to encourage everybody, if you're listening to podcasts, you ought to be listening to audiobooks. And there are 45,000 plus great choices online. It's a whole library of audiobooks you can download and listen to on your computer, on your iPod. You can burn them to CDs. It is fantastic. Audible.com/MacBreak. We're so glad to have them be part of the Twit family for another year. It's a really great feeling. I'm going to leave you the best for last, Alex Lindsay. What do you think? You came, or you're going to run off and buy? Because usually you have a pre-standing order at the Apple Store. You call up the Apple Store the night before.
Whatever's new.
Well, let me think. I have an iPhone, so I will upgrade it for free.
For free. The Apple TV.
I have an Apple TV, and I will upgrade it for free. So far I'm doing pretty well. I think my wife is going to end up with an Air.
Yeah, I think my wife is too.
I have to talk to her. I don't know if she's going to want. My wife tends to be very frugal. Unlike me, we're kind of the opposite of the normal. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, and she's like, I don't want to pay more than. So she may go for a Mac Pro. I don't know if she really cares about the thin.
She should get Air,
or a MacBook. But Air. I think she should get an Air. I think for research purposes,
yes,
she needs to get an Air.
In fact, get her the solid state drive, would you? So we can see how long.
Yeah,
I got to find some sucker that'll buy that solid state drive just to see.
But I do think it's exciting. I really think that the changes. The thing that I was most excited about were location. On the Google Maps. So being able to find myself...
On your iPhone.
On my iPhone.
Not using GPS.
Because I'm constantly trying to figure out where
that's what's
I am.
Interesting.
You finally find yourself.
Yeah,
I've been trying
GPS.
To find myself. I went to India last year. I've been to Africa a couple times. And I finally found it here in Macworld.
There you go.
And so
I found myself at Macworld.
So being able to do that, I think I'm going to end up renting a lot of movies. I mean, I'll probably rent a lot.
I'll be really interested because I've had that capability for a while and I don't do it.
Yeah,
I do Netflix. It's easier. It's higher quality. It's faster.
But I
buy TV shows on iTunes. I just don't see myself renting stuff. But we'll see.
So anyway, and I do think that it's revolutionary. I think that and this is going to be something we're going to be talking about all week here in the podcast studio is that this is our opportunity. When you see stuff where our podcasts are sitting right next to TV, there's nothing. There's nothing that's hard. Now the problem is that the quality of the podcasts have to come up. You know,
that's
so we have
challenge.
To start making it look like TV.
That's
you know,
the challenge.
And if we can get closer, now TV right now is looking less and less because of the strike. If we can start bringing our stuff closer and closer to that, it's a real opportunity for us to take real market share. And that's something that is very exciting, obviously, to me, because that's my thing. So.
No, I'd agree with you. It's a real opportunity for anybody who's doing their user-generated content. You have a platform. You have a very viable, real platform. But the challenge is, how do we make it look good enough to get people to subscribe to it?
Exactly.
That's going to really be... It's difficult in video. You know? I want to thank you all in the audience for being a great audience. I know it's been hard to hear a little bit. We're going to work on that PA system. Make sure you can hear just fine. I hope you've enjoyed Mac Break Weekly. We'll be here all week long. I almost feel like I should say something about Mr. Sinatra, but I can't. And we want to thank you for joining us. Another Mac Break is broke.
Product do you like to use when you use product?
You know, I don't use product.
You don't use any product of any kind?
No, this is purely natural, and it's actually an extension.
It's just gravity and good luck.
No, it's actually, this is not hair, but rather it's flesh. Polymer that grows from my head, and I've tried to get rid of it, and I just can't.
You're very fortunate.